The $2 trillion meltdown. How is it that we're having all the economic problems that we are having? Why is it that the world's economic monetary system around the world almost collapsed because of the events of last week? Why is it that the government has to step in and rescue it? What went wrong? Who did it? Why did it happen? Before we can answer those questions, we have to understand, how did we receive all the blessings and wealth in the first place? We also need to realize that there's a God in heaven. He is the one who watches over the nations. He is the one who blesses. He is the one who raises up and takes down, as we have seen. But God promised these blessings to the descendants of Abraham thousands of years ago. And we don't come by them because we are a genius people. We don't come by them because of our hard works. Yes, we worked hard and we have done many, many things. That is true. But that is only after the blessing that God gave through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we find the root of this here in Genesis 48, where Israel blessed the two sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. And here's how he blessed them. He blessed Joseph and his two sons. May God, verse 15, Genesis 48, page 169. And he blessed Joseph and said, "May God, before whom your fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who fed me all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lands. Let my name be perpetuated in them." It's the name of Israel. "And the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." And here was the blessing that came. Here was the blessing that came. Although Ephraim was the second born, Manasseh the firstborn did not receive the firstborn blessing, because Israel knew what he was doing, and he told Jacob here in verse 19, "I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations." We're going to see in just a minute that these things were fulfilled in the last days, and this is not a blessing to the Jews. Please understand that the Jews come from only one tribe of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, and this blessing of national greatness, the birthright, was not given to them. And he blessed them that day, saying, "And you shall Israel bless, saying, God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh." And he put Ephraim before Manasseh, and that is the blessing that came. Now here is a further extension of this blessing, so that we understand that these things are going to happen in the last days. So what we are looking at right now, with the events that are going on in the world, we're going to see from prophecies that have been prophesied that would happen. And before we understand why all of this is being taken away from us, we need to understand how we got it in the first place. Now let's come to Genesis 49 and verse 1. And we are going to see how the blessings came upon Joseph. We're going to concentrate on that. Genesis 49 and verse 1. "And Jacob called his sons," that's all 12 of them, 13 including Ephraim and Manasseh, "and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall happen to you in the last days." So all the prophecies here in Genesis 48 and 49 have to do with the last days. Now let's come to verse 22 concerning Joseph. "Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have fiercely attacked him and have shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the Almighty God of Jacob. See, our strength, our national power and greatness comes from God. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the God of your father who shall help you, may the Almighty bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of your father are greater than the blessings of my ancestors to the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him, the ruler, the leader, who is separated from his brothers. That's how we have been blessed with some of the greatest land in the world, with the best climate, the most productive, that we could be great according to the blessing that God gave to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Now, yes, we've had our part in doing the things that we need to do to work and to accomplish what we need to accomplish. But God gave a warning in Deuteronomy 8 that we should never, ever, ever say that all of these things came because we were great, because we were industrious, because we are hardworking. And many people are saying of this current problem and difficulty that we are in right now, that we've always had problems and we'll overcome this and American people are great and we'll put it together and we will do this and we will do that and we will come out of it. Well, there comes a time when that is impossible because we're not dealing with just human beings. We are dealing with God, his blessing and his cursing, or God's blessing or God's judgment because of sin, as we will see. And that directly affects the economic health of this nation. Isn't it interesting, too, that the United Kingdom, who is Ephraim, America, who is Manasseh, and you look at the nations that are suffering from these things right now, they are all the descendants of the 10 tribes of Israel led by Ephraim and Manasseh. Now let's come to Deuteronomy 33. Page 327, and let's look at the blessing for us to understand that God has given all these things to us because of his blessing through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 13, Deuteronomy 33, page 327, and of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land with the precious things of the heavens, for the dew, for the deep that couches beneath, and that is oil and gold and silver and coal and all of those things. And God gave these things to us to use. And God expected us to be a nation and a group of nations to take the word of God to the world. And our greatest failure is because we did not do that as a nation. Oh, we started out to do so. Yes, after the Protestant Reformation, when God's blessing came upon England and later on America, we did produce more Bibles, we did go to the world, we had missionaries, we had preaching, reaching out everywhere into the world, bringing the heathen and the Gentiles the knowledge of God. But since we ourselves did not wholly obey God, we did not teach them the right way. We did not complete what God expected us to do. So all the blessings that he has given us, which we are now consuming and have consumed upon ourselves, are beginning to evaporate before our very eyes. But those blessings came from God, and for the precious things of the fruits of the sun, and the precious things of the yield of the months, and with the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the everlasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth, and the fullness of it, and for the goodwill of him who dwelt in the bush, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and on the head of him who was separated from his brothers. His glory is like the firstborn of his bull, and his horns are like the horns of the wild ox, with them he shall push the peoples together to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And that's exactly what has happened within our lifetimes. And it goes back to the generations just before that. And you stop and think for just a minute. If it were not for the fact of the blessings that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and passed on to Ephraim and Manasseh and the other 10 sons that he had, the world would not have been blessed as God had promised. We need to understand that. Now let's understand some other things that God has given here so that we can realize why we are in the economic mess that we are in. Let's come here to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. We're going to see some things here that are mightily important for us to understand. Everyone wants the blessings of God. Everyone wants things to go well. However, also the perverseness of human nature, and especially of the Israelites, in relationship to God. They want to come to God just so far, and no more. And they want to come to God and tell Him what they will do and will not do, and yet expect the blessings of God while they're living in sin. Now let me tell you something very important to understand and realize. You cannot have the blessings of God while you live in sin, generation after generation. There comes a time when God judges the nations. There comes a time when God corrects the nation. There comes a time when God has said, these things will be taken away, and we are at the door. Now let's look and see how the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through the nation of Israel, all 12 tribes included, how they were to retain these blessings and how they were to avoid the curses. Now let's come to Deuteronomy 28, page 319, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently. Now, I want you to listen to those words. Hearken means to listen and do. And to do how? Diligently. Not slovenly, not picking and choosing, diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God. And that is the whole message of the Bible. Obey my voice. So in going through these things, we need to ask ourselves the question, are we obeying the voice of God? Is this nation obeying the voice of God? What are they really doing? How are these things really coming down? Oh, we're going to find, because we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, these things are going to be taken away. Yet everyone still wants the blessings, and they can't understand it. Listen, remember something that is very important. You can never prosper in sin. Sooner or later, it's going to come judgment time. So if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command you today, not just the ones you agree with, not just the ones that you like, not just the ones that make you feel good, but all. The Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And because we were doing that to a good degree, and because of the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we were set high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field, and blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your livestock and the increase of your cattle and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And the Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be stricken before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. And the Lord shall command a blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand to do, and he shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord shall establish you a holy people to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make you abound in goods, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to you. And the Lord shall open to you his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall loan to many nations, and you shall not borrow. Very key verse to understand. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be above all ways, and you shall not be beneath, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today to observe and to do them. You shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. So there is the promise, but notice it is conditional. The promise to Abraham was unconditional, that we would receive these blessings, but in order to retain them, they are conditional to us. So we need to understand that. Then he says, verse 15, now I'm going to leave it up to you to read all of Deuteronomy 28. And as you do, I want you to ask the question with each verse, is this happening to us today? The answer is yes. And it's not going to be some easy, quick fix, 5-minute solution, because we're dealing with God. We're dealing with his truth. We're dealing with his commandments. We're dealing with his very existence as creator. Verse 15. It shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now let's stop here and understand one thing that's very important. Everyone likes the promises of blessing. But let's understand this too. Half of the promises of God are cursings. So that if you do not do what you need to do to continue receiving the blessings, the cursings will come. Just as sure as the law of gravity works every single time. Now we're going to read just a few more verses, and I want you to ask the question, are these things happening? Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your store. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, the increase of your livestock and the flocks of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. And the Lord shall send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings by which you have forsaken me. So it's not just an economic thing. The economic problems we are having are a result of many, many, many multiple sins. And it's not just the government, it's not just the leaders, it is everyone, as we will see. Now let's pick it up here in verse 43, page 321. The stranger dwelling among you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. I want to stop and ask you a question. Which countries of the world today have immigration problems? That's how you can identify where the nations of Israel are today. All of Europe, United Kingdom, United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and they are taking over. And it is going to happen. Now notice, get high above, very high above you, and you shall come down very low. So this is a process. And it ties right into the economics of what is happening. He shall loan to you, and you shall not loan to him. Now let's stop there for just a minute. The economic curse began to come against the United States right here in this verse in 1982. 1982 was the last year that we were a lender nation. Today, we are a debtor nation 27 years later. And the latest thing that they want to do with the bailout, which we'll discuss a little later, they need to raise the debt of the government of the United States to $11.3 trillion. And guess who holds those notes? Our enemies. That is a fulfillment of this prophecy. Now here's why. And it says that he shall loan to you and you shall not loan to him. He shall be the head and you shall be the tail. They're going to tell us what to do, when to do it, how to do it, because he who holds the wealth controls the population. And we no longer have any wealth. In the sense of true wealth, we do have some monetary figures, but that's not true wealth. And we will see what has happened. And here's the reason. And all these curses shall come on you and shall pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which I command you. Now, need I say anything about abortion? And need I say anything about a presidential candidate who believes in infanticide? Need I say anything concerning all the sex sins of this nation? The lying, the cheating, the robbery, the stealing. Need I say about all the religious leaders who stand up and proclaim that God has done away with his laws, that Christ came to do away with the commandments? Those are all great sins which are taking us down. Need I say anything about the natural catastrophes? And I don't think they're so natural. They're very unnatural by the very nature of them. And all of these things have happened because we didn't obey the voice of the Lord your God. And one of the main commandments that has been that people have rejected and have done so in the name of Christ, blasphemously so, is the commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Nowhere does the Bible say, from Genesis to Revelation, that Sunday is the day of worship. You cannot take your own devisings, you cannot take your own lying interpretations of Scripture and come to God and say, we are righteous. and come to God and say that we live under grace, and come to God and wipe your mouth of your sins and say, we have done all that the Lord has asked us to do. No, you haven't. I just dare you to watch your television set, to read your newspaper, to read the crime statistics, to look at the health of the nation, to understand the things that are going on, and to come and say, we are righteous people. We are a Christian nation. Maybe we were once in the letter of the law, but now we are anything but that. And the church of God, which is supposed to uphold the word of God and supposed to preach the gospel of God and do the true teaching of God, because of their own sins, have been knocked down and scattered abroad, because God judges his own first. Now let's continue here, verse 46. And they shall be on you for a sign and for a wonder, and on your seed forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. You became corrupt and evil and foolish and wretched. So God gives this warning. This is going to happen. Therefore you shall serve your enemies. And when they hold all those promissory notes, we're going to serve them. And there won't be too much that we can do about it, because unless there's repentance to God, beginning with the churches of God, and then the people in the nations of Israel, there is no turning back of the hand of God. We may have a temporary respite for a while. We may temporarily appear to solve some of our problems. But you can't take and cut out a cancer and then put the cancer over into another body and expect it not to spread. Never happened. Now notice, therefore, here's God's judgment. You shall serve your enemies, which God shall send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in the want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. You think about that. The day of reckoning has started. Now, God will always honor repentance, individually and collectively. Now, we've covered all of that before. Verse 49, and the Lord shall bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you shall not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, who shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of your livestock, the fruit of your land, until you are destroyed. And he shall not leave you grain, nor wine, nor oil, neither the increase of your livestock, nor your flocks of your sheep, until he has destroyed you. And he shall beseech you within all your gates, until your high fortified walls, in which you trusted, come down throughout the land. And he shall beseech you within your gates throughout all your land, which the Lord your God has given you. Now let's come to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, the first chapter. Because this tells us where we are. This tells us what is happening. This tells us why God is going to do what he is going to do. And he tells us how important that it is, and how sure it is, just as sure as the heavens are there. Isaiah 1, page 504. Now, we've been here before, but let me tell you something. We'll be here many, many times in trying to understand the things that are going on. Verse 2, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Now, remember, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall perish, but my word shall never perish. And that includes these words that we are reading here. For the Lord has spoken. Now he speaks of Israel. Yes, he loves us. But because he loves us, he's going to correct us. And if you say, God is love, why doesn't he accept me the way that I am? Because if you're living in sin, you are not loving God in return. And you will not receive the love of God, but you will receive the judgment of God. Now upon repentance, he will give you a way out. For the Lord has spoken, I have reared and brought up children, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner and the donkey his master's crib, but Israel does not know me. My people do not understand. Now, how is it that we don't know God? We have more professing Christian people in America than any other nation on earth. But is their Christian profession really true? The answer is no. It's only partial. Again, I'll remind you. If you go to church on Sunday, ask your minister, which day is really the Sabbath? And then ask him, why don't you preach it? Now, if he gives you any kind of excuse at all, we have in several of our publications, and separately as well, Rome's challenge to the Protestants, which the Church of Rome proves that there is no way, absolutely not, for anyone to profess to serve God and keep Sunday, because Sunday is a Catholic institution separate from the Sabbath. And you see, you cannot know God unless you keep his Sabbath and holy days. Now, if you don't have the book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which, you write for it immediately. You write us, you phone us, you email us. We'll get it to you, because that book is the most singularly important book, which shows the way of man under Satan the devil, and the way of man, of God's people, under God and his laws, and the difference between the two. Why you cannot take the way of Satan and mix it with the way of God and say, oh, we've obeyed the voice of God, because you're no different than Cain, and you're in the way of Cain. Rebelled against me. Verse 4, ah, sinful nation, people burdened with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They provoked the Holy One to anger. They have gone away backward. Not forward. God says in the midst of all of this, God doesn't like to bring judgment upon people, but God will not be mocked if we don't obey the voice of the Lord your God. Exactly as Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live. So he says, why should you be stricken anymore? In other words, when you get your fill of sin and wretchedness and rottenness and drunkenness and vomit and drugs and abortion and all the ways of the occult and rebel against God and deny him, God says, when will you ever learn? Why will you be stricken anymore? Will you revolt more and more? Don't you understand how bad it really is? The whole head is sick. That's the governments of Israel are sick. And their financial people are sick. And they're liars and they are cheats. Just like everyone is motivated by greed and selfishness. And getting, and taking, and stealing. Don't blame the government. They are only the result of what the people put in office. It has to start with everyone individually. Do you lie? Do you cheat? Do you steal? Do you take? Do you think you can get ahead by taking the easy way of sin? Do you really? And even those people who are not living openly in blatant sin, do you think that you can borrow forever and ever and ever and not pay back anything? Let me give you a truism, which applies to this new bailout, $700 billion bailout that is coming. You cannot borrow your way out of debt, individually or collectively. Continuing now, verse 5. The whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the top of the head, there is no soundness in it. Only wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, nor bound up, nor soothed with ointment, because no one knows how to return to God. The way you return to God is cease sinning. The way you return to God is to repent of your sins and begin to keep His commandments. If not, your country is a desolation, your cities are burned with fire, strangers devour your land in your very presence, and it is wasted and as overthrown by strangers. Now let's see some of the reasons why, and then how it affects the monetary situation. Verse 8, the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, like a hut in a garden of cucumbers, like a besieged city, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant. And if these things do not come down on us as severe as they ought to at this time, let me tell you, it's only because there is a very small remnant of people who love God and keep His commandments and are praying to God and yielding to God and doing what is right before God. And if He lifts His hand to hold back the severity of His correction, it is only because of them. It's not because of the genius of the financial people. It's not because of the religious leaders. It's not because of the civil leaders. It's because of the humble people that are the defenders of the truth and holding together the truth of God to do what is right that will hold back the hand of God. You can be thankful for that small remnant. And don't any of you who are Sunday keepers stand up and start condemning Sabbath keepers and holy day keepers and your self-righteousness of wretchedness and say how good you are. It's that small remnant. We would have become as Sodom and we would have become like Gomorrah because we are so filled and obsessed with sin and sex sin. Beyond description, defying definition. Now notice God has a message to the rulers, to the leaders. And they're the ones who need to start repenting. They're the ones who need to confess their sins, as well as down to the very last individual for his drug taking and homosexuality and fornication and adultery and murder and stealing and coveting and all of these things from the top of the head to the sole of the foot. Hear the word of the Lord, rulers of Sodom, and give ear to the law of our God, people of Gomorrah. Then he talks about what is the purpose of all your religious activities? Doesn't mean a thing because you're not doing it right. He says, when you pray, I will not hear you because your hands are full of blood. So here's what he says. Here is the call. Verse 16. Here is the plea for repentance from God. God is saying, these things are coming. I don't want to bring them upon you. Why do you want to be stricken even more and more? He says, wash yourselves, that is in the blood of the Lamb. Make yourselves clean through repentance. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Because you see, the way it is today, evil is called good and good is called evil. And they cast the law of God behind their backs and wipe their mouths as if they had just finished a wonderful meal and it's full of vomit and sin. Now God says, learn to do good. You have to get the Word of God. You have to study the Word of God. You have to take it and study it on your knees. You need to pray to God daily. You need to ask God to forgive you of your sins and blot them out. And I'll tell you one thing. Unless every single one of us come to recognize the very deceitfulness of human nature and the deceitfulness of the human heart, and to understand that it is not within man to direct his steps. Because without the Spirit of God, without the laws of God, without the direction and blessing of God, there is nothing but doom and destruction ahead. Let's go to the next track, please.